Hey, everybody.
What kind of beginning is that?
Oh, boy. It's a hot one because this is a new episode of the Flophouse.
French champagne.
That's right. You're listening to a podcast right now. I hope that's not a surprise to you. You're listening to an episode of The Flophouse. This is one of our mini episodes. Normally, we watch a bad movie and talk about it. But this week, oh boy, we are not doing that at all. This week, we are doing one of our mini episodes, which is going to be shorter than our normal episodes, but not by that much. Or maybe by a lot. We'll find out.
Wow, getting bogged down right out of the gate.
That's why they call him.
You make fun of me for it.
That's why they call him Base Cover Wellington. Got to cover every base.
Every base. Yeah. I want to be safe. So this episode is...
I mean, they just... Okay, go on.
All those bases belong to Stuart now. Anyway, Stuart, continue.
So this episode's going to fall right at the end of the Max Fun Drive. And that is the one time a year where our show and the other shows on the Maximum Fun Network come to you, our listeners, and ask for your support. And the drive just wrapped up, but if you are interested in supporting our show by either doing a monthly membership or by upgrading your membership or by boosting your membership, you can go to MaximumFun.org/join and still get in on all the good stuff, which is prizes, pins, tons of bonus content where we do even, well, probably more... like more coherent stuff than what this episode's going to be.
Yeah. If you're a fan of the messiest intros in podcasting, then please give to MaximumFun .org/join.
Yeah. I guess now I feel bad. Should we just do this whole thing over again? Nope. Jordan, just let it ride. Let's just roll it. So thanks again. Thank you for your support. And in honor of that support, I have recently gone on to Twitter and asked the people that follow me, and I'm guessing anybody who retweeted me, I think that's how Twitter works, to give us some ideas of topics and turn this into one of those big old letter bags. But this is not a letter bag where we get normal letters. No, no, no. These are short electronic letters. So, Elliot, when you sing this letter song that I know you've got prepped, make sure that it's like, kind of electronic-y sounding.
I was exactly what we were on the same page here. Short electronic letters. Beep, boop, boo. They're short electronic letters. Beep, boop, boo. They're not big letters. Beep, boop, boo. They're pretty, pretty short. Boop, 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 boop. Pretty, pretty short. Boop, 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 boop. And they're electronic. Bow. I was going for kind of a Thomas Dolby Kraftwerk kind of feel with that.
Yeah, and I think we found your genre because that was the most musical I think one of these songs has been.
Yeah.
To be honest, I love electronic sounds, love electronic sounding music. There's a reason that I'm a big fan of Sparks's disco-inspired album, Number One Song in Heaven, or just Number One in Heaven, I guess is the album. And it's because there's a lot of those electronic beats in it. So there you go.
That song is just about as danceable and as kind of an off-the-wall choice as any of the songs that would play in the Bada Bing in an episode of The Sopranos, where you're like, I guess they're going to dance this song.
High praise indeed.
You're welcome. So let's...
So without further ado, boop, 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 let's get on to boop, boop. Boop, boop. Those electronic letters.
Yep.
They're short.
So I was asking for topics and or questions for us to... questions for the peaches. That's us. Three peaches. That's us. And this first question is from @EdMiller18. If cereal mascots entered a tournament of Mortal Kombat... this is appropriate because we have in a couple of weeks we're going to be talking about Mortal Kombat the movie. With the prize of this Mortal Kombat being the continued freedom of their realm, I'm guessing whatever realm the cereal mascot comes from, which cereal mascot would likely prevail? This is a good question.
This is a very good question because there's a lot of, I mean, you've got a number of monsters that are fighting this. You've got a tiger.
Total Dark Universe energy coming off of them, right?
Is this one-on-one combat? Because you have a captain, a seafaring man, with a whole armada at his disposal.
Guys, I just realized I haven't looked. Did somebody do a drawing of the monster cereal mascots like Count Chocula and all them standing serious like in those Dark Universe publicity photos?
Probably. I mean, I have to assume that's happened. I don't know why it wouldn't. Because it's also like, for Cookie Crisp, would it be the police officer, the dog, or the crook?
It's a team.
That would be do you think it's a tag team or an all at the same time team?
Yeah, I think it's all, yeah, I mean, you're getting all of them, I think, when you pick Cookie Crisp. Whereas when you have, what's the Fruit Loops guy?
It's Toucan Sam.
Toucan
Sam. I mean, you got your Sugar Bear.
Yeah.
That's a bear. Uh-huh. Good things come in them, but then can they fight?
You got the Lucky Charms Leprechaun, and we know from the Leprechaun movies that is not to be sneezed at. And the Trix Rabbit, who, of course, has been driven mad by years of having Trix denied him by children.
By children, yeah.
Yeah, I think I think that for that very reason, though, we can discount the Trix Rabbit. Or I at least would discount the Trix Rabbit, because I don't think that he has a, let's call it, a history of success.
Okay,
you know,
that's fair.
Like, his track record is not...
His Trix record, is pretty poor. What about like the Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs bird? He's got a big Harley Quinn energy going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Mikey likes it from the Life commercial.
I don't know if I'd call that a serial mascot.
He's a human being.
That's a human child.
He already got blown up in Vietnam.
Oh,
so.
No, Dan, that's an urban legend. He died when he drank Coke with Pop Rocks in his mouth.
Okay.
Scientific fact. It's in his biography. I think to answer the question seriously, I think, and this is going to sound counterintuitive at first, I'm going to say the Quaker Oats Quaker. You think at first he's a Quaker, he's a man of peace, he's taken a vow of pacifism and nonviolence.
Yep.
But it's going to be one of those stories where when he sees the destruction wrought on his village where this Mortal Kombat competition is taking place, he's going to have to roll up his sleeves, reveal those big burly arms from all the plowing that he does, and he's just going to have to break the most basic rule, thou shalt not kill, in order to keep his family safe. And he's played by Mel Gibson.
Oh,
maybe Liam Neeson. What if they were together and they were called Liam Gibbs names?
Oh, man. I don't know.
I think I'm going to go with the Leprechaun. He's got magical powers. A lot of them have magical powers. But, you know, you got the Snap, Crackle, Pop elves. Their power just seems to be that they're very, very small, which I think would make them easier to defeat.
I mean, they have the sound. They have the power to imitate sounds, which you say a superhero wouldn't have, but Kylo of Excalibur, that was his power, just to mimic sounds.
I mean, Black Bolt uses sound as a weapon.
You know, Elliot, I also have the power to imitate sounds. I can imitate sounds right now if you
want
me
to. Yeah, give us some sounds. Give us some sounds.
Well, here's one. Here's a... And then there's like a...
I don't like that last one.
That's gross.
This is good. That's good. Was that like a horse?
Yeah. And a...
I don't
know what that's a sound.
Is that like cobblestones?
I'm just saying anyone can imitate sounds.
No, you're right.
I don't know if you were imitating sounds so much. You were making sounds.
And guys, I'm gonna have to go with Captain Crunch because you don't know what horrors he committed to earn all the medals.
That's true.
He's an old-time Navy man. It's all about burning foreign villages and whipping his own men.
Yeah.
Horrible. Yeah. Sending them off to die in the Arctic, you know, on ill-fated expeditions. That's Captain Crunch. He's seen things and done things. He's so bad that they actually... They stripped him of some of the letters in the name Captain. So it's just Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
Harsh discipline. Harsh discipline in the British Navy. I assume British. I don't know where he's from.
But fair, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've all decided the next step in this game that we're playing. Is it a game? Who knows? We'll find out. Is from at Rachy Ryan. Rachy has suggested we do a little thing where Dan, I went over to a thing called BuzzFeed.com, and I pulled up a little BuzzFeed quiz for you. This quiz is for Dan alone, because the question is, how Midwestern are you?
All
right. So you're going to have to tell me whether or not any of these apply, okay?
Okay.
wait, can I do the theme song for this too?
Yes, please.
Ho, 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 how Midwestern is Dan?
That's great.
Nice.
Okay, that gave...
The next Paul Schaefer, ladies and gentlemen.
There is a cornfield within 10 miles of your house.
Yes, there was one down the block when I grew up.
Do they call it blocks? Football is a big deal to you.
No. I mean, not to me, no.
Dan, you know...
Well, that's what the question was.
You know what a Hoosier is.
Yes,
you're looking right at one, motherfucker.
And my mom was a Hoosier, is a Hoosier. I don't know why. That's a happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Wow.
Also, this is going to be released.
Make up for
and this is gonna,
accidentally. Well, I meant was a Hoosier.
We're recording this.
That
also, we're recording this 2 days after Mother's Day. It's going to be released almost a week after Mother's Day, so you should have gotten her a card.
Yeah.
No, I called her on Mother's Day.
No, she's waiting for the podcast
that...
delivery guy to show up with
a
podcast.
You may have called her, but you didn't call her a Hoosier because you've revoked that, like the word T-A-I from Captain.
Was a Hoosier in that she is from Indiana, but she does not. She's not currently a Hoosier. I did not mean to post-date my mother.
Yeah.
I did not. Anyway,
oh, like in Back to the Future.
On.
Okay, yeah. Next.
Post-dating your mother.
Next one. Yeah, I guess technically correct, Elliot. You have a big yard.
I not currently, no.
Okay. You have a bicycle.
I mean, again, not currently.
Okay.
When I grew up, both of those two
okay,
things.
Okay, we're
yes.
talking about when you grew up, okay?
Okay, when I grew up, yes.
You love steak and shake.
I do love steak and
wow.
shake.
You've gone to Target or Walmart with your friends for fun.
Indeed, several times. I don't think you understand, modern people, mm-hmm. how things were before the internet.
Dan, you've seen a horse and buggy near or in your town.
I have indeed,
wow.
yes.
You've seen an Amish person? Separate question.
The Mennonite, yes.
Okay, we'll count it. You say "ope" on a regular basis.
I don't know what "ope"
me
means.
Me neither. Okay. I guess I'm not very
that was
Western.
That was a trick question. It's OPP. Uh-huh. If you had said yes,
oh,
yeah. you would
Other
not have been
surprised. I'm down with that.
Yep. The weather changes every hour where you live.
I don't even think that was true yeah. when I lived in Illinois, no.
Somewhere on Lake Michigan is your family's go-to vacation.
We did go to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan
yeah.
for vacations.
Yep. You go skiing at resorts with fake snow for fun.
I don't know. I went skiing a couple times in Ohio growing up. I don't know if it was fake or not.
We'll assume it. You say tennis shoes.
I say sneakers, okay. but tennis shoes definitely while growing up was a thing, yeah.
Okay. High school basketball was a big deal in your town.
Yeah, I mean, in our division, we were second in state
wow.
when I was a sophomore, so yeah. yes.
So I just want to ask, as an Easterner, are we a quarter of the way through this quiz?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a landmark.
Halfway.
Okay.
Okay.
You know what?
I mean, this is the most interested I've ever been yeah. in this podcast.
You know what a tornado siren sounds like.
Yes, I do.
The city is Chicago.
Yes, for sure.
You've been to the Indy 500.
I have not been to the Indy 500. We would my mom would for some reason insist on having it on all day on the day of the
it's
Indy
a,
500.
It's a, yeah, it's a holy day. You've had many snow days.
Yes.
Oh man, this is gonna get a larf. You've played cornhole.
I have played cornhole, yeah. But I think that was on the East Coast. I don't think I did it in Illinois. Mm.
You've eaten puppy chow. And no, I'm not talking about dog food.
No, I'm familiar with the confectionery of that name, yes.
Can you describe this for Elliot, being an Easterner and
it
unfamiliar
is,
yeah, I don't
with
know what
puppy
this
chow?
Is.
It is like a Chex based thing that you might have at like a church bake sale, and it has confectioner's sugar and I believe peanut butter.
Yeah,
involved.
When he says Chex, he's talking about the breakfast cereal, not like Chex that you would write money amounts
yeah.
on. And...
No, I figured that it okay. wasn't. Frugal Midwesterners, I assumed, would not be eating money.
Sure,
like a rich New York tycoon, you know. Dan, maybe you've heard, I want to talk to you about some of my my culture then. Have you heard of
okay.
pizza? So it's like dough and they put sauce and cheese on it and sometimes other toppings. And it has to be thrown up in the air by a man who is not wearing gloves and you don't know where his hands have been. And he is not allowed to wear a shirt. He can only wear an undershirt. Uh-huh. And then he sticks it in an oven. And then when
the
you
undershirt?
Ask him if it's ready... He sticks the undershirt in the oven, and when you ask him if the pizza is done, he goes, "Hey,
Oh, wow.
Now, would I get this at a restaurant that has a picture of maybe like a similar looking man giving me a thumb, like a statue of him giving me a thumbs up outside mm-hmm. of the
That's the either restaurant. Outside. Sometimes it's in the form of a statue, and it's always branded yeah. on the box. Because you also, if you get more than one slice, it's served in slices mm-hmm. or in full pies. Then you get in a box that also has that picture, and he's a sort of idol god. That's mm-hmm. worshipped by the pizza makers. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I am familiar with
Yeah, and
this.
His name is Stromboli.
On a similar topic, Dan, you like ranch dressing?
I did growing okay. up, yes. I'm recovering.
Shorts weather is anything above 60 degrees.
You know what? I've never been one of those guys. Oh, long pants. As long as I can.
Cargo shorts? Fuck that shit. I don't need that many pockets, says Dan.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone sledding many times.
I have gone sledding many times.
Let's get these results, baby. You're a true Midwesterner, 19 out of 24. You were born and raised in the Midwest. You've seen many a tractor, hung out at Steak and Shake late at night with your friends, and maybe even visited Wisconsin Dells a few times, or a lot.
Everything true except for the dose, but I've seen a lot of commercials for them. That's for sure.
Oh, wow, that was fun, guys. I'm pretty worn out from that.
Yeah,
let's pick up.
See, that was finally something for our demographic, Stu. You know.
Mm-hmm. So, guys,
coastal elites.
This is
coastal's elite is how we pluralize it. Yeah.
So this next question is directed at all of us. It's not just Dan. This is a question about vampires, okay? This is I actually cut off the question submitters they're at, but this is from Molly in Taurus season. Gotta love that shit. Taurus season, baby. If you are going to be a vampire, what kind of vampire would you be? Each piece of vampire media has its own aesthetic and often its own rules. Foppy Ann Rice vampire, artistic Jim Jarmusch vampire, balls to the walls Coppola vampire. That's very tempting. Coppola vampire is very cool with the big hair and can use his shadow to choke Keanu Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, though, are you gonna, like, if it's just like, what kind of vampire lifestyle do you want to live? Like, it's different than like what the cool vampire is. Like, I mean, my favorite movie vampire is probably like Count Orlok and Nosferatu, but I don't want to be that guy.
No, that's who you're choosing. I want to be like, just a little gross rat man.
No, let me be like David Bowie in The Hunger. That would be a fun vampire to be.
Yeah, that's a good vampire.
Prematurely aging, falling apart. Okay. I think I would go with, it's a toss-up for me between, let's see, kind of like the vampires in Near Dark. Because I like the idea of having a vampire family,
like cool,
that I can like drive around.
And they're like cool punk
with.
Rock, I don't know, like motorcycle gang vampires.
I mean,
right?
Well, Bill Paxton is, but Lance Henriksen is like a real dad.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
They're a real family. Either that, or I guess, or Nicolas Cage vampire, because he knows the alphabet and he shouts it.
That's true. Now, my first inclination is to say, like one of the vampires in Blade who wear like Wilson's leather jackets and wraparound sunglasses and generally just look like stuntmen that are about to get turned into ashes by Blade real quick. Which when you think about it, you're like, man, these guys could live forever. And that's what they, like, they're just stuntmen? Whatever.
Another option for me, Count Duckula.
Okay.
Vegetarian.
Count Duckula.
Yeah.
Vegetarian. You know, I wouldn't feel bad. Just, you know, ate ketchup or whatever, and I'm a cartoon duck, which is one of my favorite things.
I think you could also be a really good Bunnicula.
You would be a great Bunnicula, Dan.
Thank you, guys.
And I would say, I feel like Laszlo from What We Do in the Shadows, the television program. I mean, that's the ideal, right?
Yeah,
Jackie Daytona, human bartender.
Yeah, I think so. That's a good point. That's a very good point, yeah.
Okay, so I think we've put that that question to bed in a coffin. So we get a couple of questions from listeners about if it bothers us that they nap or fall asleep while listening to our voices. How do you guys feel about that?
I mean, only in so much as like I don't want us to do anything unhealthy. Like, I don't want to like worm our way into people's brains in a way that's going to
like
cause
a Manchurian candidate thing.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, like I don't.
Freddy,
want...
do you think we're actually going into people's dreams, Dan? Because I don't know about you. I've not been able to crack that.
That would be fucking
code.
Great. I've always wanted to be able to stretch my arms out super long, and I feel like my only option is to get into somebody's dreams to do that.
I'm just saying that I don't think anyone's done.
Like, you can't do that in real life.
I don't think any scientists have done any tests. Any doctors have done any tests on like prolonged sleep exposure to the Flophouse. That's my only concern. You know, any ill effects.
Well, luckily, we have an enormous control group in the form of everyone else in the history of the world.
Yeah, that's true. No, I have a few podcasts that I fall asleep listening to. It is not an insult to those podcasts. You know, often is, you know, episodes I've heard before, but I find it comforting. And so it is very sweet that anyone might find us comforting.
Yeah, I mean, sleep is a precious commodity, a precious resource. In this modern world, it's right up there with food and water and air, frankly, is good sleep. So if we can help you get to it, all the better. And like Dan's saying, if someone finds my voice soothing rather than grating, that's fantastic. Go ahead. I often read to my wife and she'll fall asleep, and I always take it as a compliment because it means my voice is not attacking her ears like an ice pick. Yeah.
And I feel like so when my wife and I think it was before we got married, I was a big fan of the Song of Ice and Fire books by George R. R. Martin. And I feel like Charlene would like these, but I don't think she's going to actually sit down and read these fucking things because there are so many and they're long. So I came up with the decision to read them out loud to her. And so I started reading them out loud to her before bed. And then we would, depending on the day, you know, we'd get a couple of pages and then she would pass out. And I feel like after a while, it just, the sound of me reading the book and doing my Tyrion voice and everything, that probably...
I want to hear this Tyrion voice now.
Oh, no. Just like my... That sounds very personal. Just like my bare feet. You're going to have to pay for that premium content, baby. Yeah.
Okay,
but,
fair.
And I was really proud of my Sandor Clegane voice, the Hound. But once again, you got to pay for that. I'm like... And then after doing that for a few, and eventually getting through all the books, she then realized that she just really likes books on tape and is like super into books on tape and listens to those every night before bed instead of listening to me doing my dumb bullshit. But what I'm trying to say is that's probably the same thing, right? And it didn't bother me then.
What I'm trying to say is now every time I talk to my wife, she falls asleep. Help.
It's dangerous when she's driving. Okay, now we have another game, guys. This is a little game where you guys can earn points and prizes. And by guys, I mean you, you Dan, and you, Elliot.
Oh, wow.
This is a game suggested by...
Hey, everybody, it's another visit from the Game Guys. The Game Guys, Dan and Elliot, playing games with Game Master Stewart, putting them through their paces. It's the Game Guys.
Uh-huh. Yep, this is promotional content paid for by Spiral from the Book of Saw. Would you like to play a little game, Chris Rock? Yeah. We'll find out.
Brought to you by GameStop, a stock that should not be worth very much.
Okay, so the way this game works is I'm going to list a fictional character, and the first one of you to name and describe the fictional podcast that they would create in that world gets a point. So, for instance, the first character I will name is Dr. Alan Grant. What is the name of his podcast and what is it about? Dr. Alan Grant from Jurassic Park.
Yeah. So the name of his podcast is I Used to Hate Kids Too. And it's a parenting podcast for people who are always having to take care of their friends' kids. Because as you know, his arc in the movie is he doesn't like kids. He also doesn't really know how a seatbelt works. By the end of the movie, he likes kids and he knows how a seatbelt works. That's what it is. So maybe his podcast is about seatbelts.
Okay, and once again, what's the name of that podcast?
I Used to Hate Kids Too, hosted by Dr. Alan Grant.
Okay. Okay, so Ellie gets a point. Next next character.
If this is based on speed of coming up with nonsense, I can give you a spoiler alert on who's going to win this.
You're at a disadvantage. But then you know the Washington Generals are at a disadvantage every time.
No, I feel like Dan's hustling me. Dan's been hustling me all these years waiting for this moment.
Yeah, this is a really long road to do.
Okay, the next character is Claire Colburn. That's right, Kirsten Dunst's character from the movie Elizabethtown. What's her podcast and what's it about?
Her podcast is called Am I in Garden State? And every episode, she talks to a different celebrity about whether she's in the movie Garden State or if she's in the other movie, which is kind of a ripoff of Garden State.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Lauren. I live in L.A., and I wanted to say some things about the Flophouse. I've been a listener for a couple years now, and I've seriously enjoyed having the Flophouse as a podcast to listen to legitimately any time of the day. I listen to it on long car drives. I listen falling asleep. It is my comfort podcast. It is something that I know I can turn on anytime and feel good for at least, you know, an hour and a half while the peaches talk. And it's really awesome to have that in my life. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Stuart. And thank you, Elliot, for the Flophouse. Okay, bye.
Hi, my name is Paul, and I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm calling about the Flophouse. I'm about 15 years older than Dan, and I don't watch movies very much. Not bad, bad, not good, bad, or even those I kind of like. I did grow up on Mystery Science Theater 3000, though, and you guys are the best thing since. Not even close. This is what I really wanted to say, though. Beginning in early November 2016, you guys became the only thing I could even listen to. The camaraderie, the humor, it was just my warm, comfy chair. And I haven't stopped. I have listened to every single episode with the original Peaches so many times I can't even tell you, and I still cry laughing at their classic bits. So thank you for everything, with the possible exception of Elliot's letter songs. I love you guys so much, I cannot even begin to tell you.
This next one, that's another point for Elliot. You're about to win. But I think Dan, this one's kind of a softball pitch for my boy, Danny McCoy. That's right. Danny, baby boy McCoy. What is the podcast made by Lloyd Dobler? That's right. John Cusack from Say Anything.
It's called The Dobler Effect.
Okay.
And it's, him just sort of like, telling tales of woe from his romantic life. This is him much later on, and him saying how he has learned not to wake people up in the middle of the night with boom boxes.
I don't want to take away Dan's point. I just want to jump in. He's also probably talking a lot about kickboxing.
Oh yeah, no, it is. Yeah, he is fascinated with kickboxing, and he will describe it to you at great length.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. What was the name? The Dobler Effect? Perfect.
The Dobler
Effect.
Okay,
man. Back on the scoreboard, Dan. I love this.
That was a fast one. That was a fast one.
Okay, guys. What is the fictional podcast of Luther Strickel? I didn't know his last name. Luther from the Mission Impossible movies, played by Ving Rhames. What's his podcast?
Oh. Oh, God. It's called Hey, I'm Here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. Okay. Interesting.
And it's about
how he's made it all those movies.
You forget that he's in
all
them.
Of them. Like, he's in all of them.
Yeah. He's the guy who just shows up, and you're like, wait, wow, I didn't know that there was so much consistency in these movies. Mm-hmm. But there
that
secretly is.
Every time I watch a Mission Impossible movie, I am always surprised by that there being continuity from the previous movie.
Now, we said all of them. I can't remember. Is he in two?
Oh, yeah.
That's the one.
I'm looking at the IMDb right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in all of them. That's kind of amazing. Like, I feel like there'd be a section in his podcast where he's just talking about what his buddy Ethan Hunt, like little tips about Ethan Hunt, or like things Ethan Hunt likes to do, or like, I bet he gets a lot of questions about Ethan Hunt, and he's like, I'm going to get him on as a guest one of these days, but he's super busy.
Mm-hmm. He's hanging off of something right now, or else he'd be in the episode.
Okay, and let's wrap this up. Cameron Poe from Con Air. What is Cameron Poe from Con Air's podcast?
It's called Poetry in Motion, and it's about how to get gleaming, luxurious locks of hair that will blow in the wind.
Okay, interesting.
I mean,
yeah,
I feel my wife watches a lot. I'm going to say a lot of YouTube channels about how to get, like, the perfect curly hair. We could go on about the Curly Girl Method and all that shit and the various drama involved in those various groups. So I think there's actually a pretty big market for poetry and motion dance. So that's a good one. I think he's going to make some money off of that.
It's amazing that the thing I was going to say was Con Hair. And it was and it would be his hair podcast. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so it looks like Dan wins. Elliot, can you tell Dan what prizes he won this time?
Dan, here are the prizes that you won. Well, you do get the feeling of knowing that you bested your friend in a made-up game that doesn't mean anything. And you win, judging by your Zoom window, a selection of boxes, a selection of packing and moving boxes which have not been opened yet.
Yeah.
Elliot, I hate to burst your bubble, but basically no games matter at all either.
Oh, wow.
And this comes from a dude who plays a lot of games.
Yeah, that's very nihilistic coming from you.
So this is actually pretty topical. Somebody asked us about the new Venom Let There Be Carnage trailer, and that's something we were actually texting about because, you know what? Saw that trailer? Kind of liked it. It opened with a lot of silly stuff with that symbiote just slapping shit around and trying to make breakfast or whatever.
I mean, the idea of the symbiote covering Eddie with ketchup because he doesn't know how to use a ketchup bottle, right? Hilarious.
Yeah, it's an Odd Couple sitcom.
Not a fan of Woody Harrelson's not having goofy clown hair like he had at the end of the first movie, but what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, it's like in the Marvel movies when they're like, okay, Wanda Maximoff doesn't need to have the craziest accent, or Benedict Cumberbatch doesn't need to have the craziest New York accent. Like, fuck that. Bring that shit back. That was exciting. I mean, I guess it like plays up the idea of like the Marvel movies are generally so they're well put together, but they are kind of they're kind of evened out in a little way so that like the sillier shit kind of gets evened out over time. I don't know. So that like you get excited when you're like, what the fuck is going on with this accent? Sorry to talk shit about Marvel, Elliot.
No,
I know you're
upset. No, I mean, it's fine. I enjoy them a lot, but there is a certain corporate sameness gloss to them, you could say. Although, I mean, I love that they watched the first Venom movie and obviously they felt the same way I did, that the best thing in it was Tom Hardy getting into a tank of lobsters and just taking a bite out of one of them. Yep. And they said, let's make that the spirit animal, that lobster they took a bite out of for the second movie.
Double down on that. Okay. So in the past, Elliot, we've gotten a lot of requests for collabs between me and you on a comic book property. Obviously, that makes sense. And somebody, and this is from user at @control_X, is the Invisible Maniac in the same universe as Maniac of New York?
No.
Wow.
Just for listeners out there that
I mean, just for if anyone's wondering, not that I have anything against the Invisible Maniac. I mean, he kills a guy with a submarine sandwich, you know,
and by doing a Mario Brothers stomp on a guy's head.
But to point out that
Maniac of New York is Elliot's comic book that's out right now. I think issue four is dropping tomorrow.
Issue four drops the day after record this, so when this episode's released, it will be on comic book shelves, issue 4 of 5 in the first series. But in the Maniac of New York, there's only one kind of like out of the ordinary supernatural-ish thing, and that's the Maniac of New York, Maniac Harry. There's kind of not room for the Invisible Maniac. Maniac New York.
Let me just point out that there's in the Invisible Maniac movie, there's only one supernatural thing in that too, and that's the Invisible Maniac. It's not like there's also magic and like laser beams and stuff.
I mean, where does it take place, the Invisible Maniac?
Science. It's not really. Thank you. Sort of a magic.
You're right, Dan. It's hard science. It's hard science fiction. It's all replicable. It's based on real theory.
It's the Expanse.
I'm intrigued by the idea of a maniacaverse.
I just like the idea this idea that the Invisible Maniac is based on science, like it's based on a Stephen Baxter novel or something.
Well, I'm simply saying he does not become invisible through a spell that is placed on him.
No, it's through a magic potion that he creates.
Yeah, he doesn't grab the Eye of Agamotto or something.
I mean, you're saying it's magical, but you know, I refer you to Arthur C. Clarke, and it's just a. Fair. You know, it's technology that has advanced so far that it appears to be magic to you,
now,
Elliot.
So where does
the untrained Neanderthal?
It's true. I'm not a scientist, and I am a Neanderthal according to 23andMe. I am like 0.2% Neanderthal.
Oh, that's great.
The part of me that is not Ashkenazi Jewish is Neanderthal. So
explains the body hair.
I mean, both sides. That comes from both sides, really. The Maniac of New York is in New York. If the Invisible Maniac is happening somewhere in, like, the Heartland, Dan's beloved Midwest, it could be happening in the same universe, and they just never encounter each other, you know?
True. Yeah.
I mean, for all we know, the creature of the black from the Black Lagoon exists in the Marvel and DC universes. They just never go there, you know.
I mean, I assumed that most movies share a universe and that they're set on the planet Earth at various points in human history.
Most movies are, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we put that one to bed once again in a coffin like a vampire. Next question,
but not a vampire because there's no vampires in Maniac of New York. Continue.
This question is maybe if there are science vampires, right?
Yeah, science. If someone it's Michael Morbius, the living vampire who drank a serum that turned him into a vampire. Yes, a science vampire, as played by Jared Leto in the upcoming film Morbius.
Yeah, can't wait. Okay, so we got a topical.
It's so amazing to me that like Morbius has been. They advertised it a while ago. And, like, not a lot of talk about Morbius, but Venom, everyone's like, oh, this new thing? And meanwhile, Michael Morbius is just sitting around going, like, I'm also tangentially related to the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, we had...
I have a movie. I'm a bad guy.
There's
who's
a trailer
a good guy.
Out. I mean, I've been edging this whole time. I mean, what are they going to... Is it like how we just got the fucking Green Knight trailer today and... After, what, a year and a half? Like, when are we going to get... When are we going to get that fucking Candyman movie?
I mean, COVID kind of got in the way, and they weren't releasing movies in the theaters for a while.
But it's been a year and a half. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
Okay, so we got a topical question here.
I literally thought the other day, I was like, did that new Ghostbusters movie come out already, and I forgot about it? It's like, oh no, they delayed the release, which makes sense, but...
Same thing happened with Fast and the Furious 9. But, okay, so topical question here. In honor of the new Mitchells vs. the Machines release, a movie I recommend on a recent episode of the podcast, and also features the voice talents of friend of the podcast, Griffin McElroy, what are your favorite movie robots? And what do you think makes a movie robot engaging / fun to watch? That's a good question from Pawsimandius.
Well, I can only speak for myself, but my favorite movie robots... I'll name them starting with 3, going to 2, and then going to 1. Number 3, ED-209, because he's large and in charge, and he does not always have control of himself.
Yeah, I love it.
Number 2, C-3PO. What makes a good movie robot is when he is cowardly, pretty effeminate, and complaining all the time. Yep. I love it. Number 1, Gonk Droid. He's just got, look at him, he's so confident. He just carries himself in a way that says he's a boss. Yeah.
two injuries from Star Wars. I love it. Dan, you got a favorite movie robot?
You know, I will have a sentimental favorite. Pardon me. Sentimental.
Jordan, leave all that in, please. Loop it a couple times, please.
Yeah, make Jordan make it into a ringtone and then make that downloadable content for Flophouse donors. No, my sentimental favorite might be Johnny Five from the film Short Circuit, a film with problems,
yeah,
chief among them Fisher Stevens playing an Indian man, but it is a very sort of, it is a believably functional robot design that is also very cute. The eyes, obviously, very similar to the ones used later by Wall-E. Just a good look for a cute robot.
And you gotta like a robot that has eyebrows.
And also you were complaining that Wall-E at no point joins a street gang like Johnny Five does in part.
Yeah,
two.
The Los Lobos.
Yeah. We don't know if Wall-E can kick your balls into outer space. Does go into outer
space. As a kid. That was like, I watched that movie, I'm like, I gotta learn that fucking rap. I gotta learn it so bad. I gotta be able to recite it, because if I can't recite it pitch perfect, the other kids are gonna make fun of me. I don't know if it's my favorite, but a recent one that I really liked was the weird like square robot in Interstellar, which was like a design that I think we talked about this on the show. It was a design that like I've never really seen before. Like, it felt new, which you don't get that very often. Like, it's definitely not, like, anthropomorphic in any way. And it, like, and all of a sudden when it started moving and it just, like, turned into a wheel kind of thing, like, oh, man, it was cool. It was weird. So
kind of on the other side of that, I'm going to give another robot on my list, and that's going to be Maria from Metropolis, which is very C-3PO-y looking, but also sexy. And not as if C-3PO is not sexy, come on. But anyway, but more so. And
yeah,
when
yeah.
she
give me
has
that Soriyama print of a boudoir print of C-3PO.
And when she looks like a person, when they put a overlay her with Maria the Human, I love the way that that actress, what's her name? I'm forgetting it now. She really embodies this kind of like sexy evil robot, and she kind of half squints one of her eyes but keeps the other one wide open and moves her head around in a really crazy way that it's just like really jerky and geometric and mechanical. And I just love that. I love that robot both as a robot and when in human form. So Maria, I have to look up the name of that actress. It's really bothering me that I can't remember it.
Okay, kind of along similar lines, guys, we're going to talk about who or what is your favorite pop culture ghost. But I'm also going to include
Helm.
That.
I'm thinking of Bridget Helm. Okay. That's the actress.
No, that's not a ghost, right?
No. Well, she is a ghost now. She died in 1996.
What is your favorite pop culture ghost? I would say for me, I mean, I think my favorite pop culture ghost story is probably like The Devil's Backbone or something, the Guillermo del Toro movie. I don't know, just because it's like sad and feels like it's probably my favorite one of his movies. It's kind of like a perfect little story, and it's sad and features some good kid acting, and it's great. Devil's Backbone, watch it if you get a chance. And there's some good ghost shit in it.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
My favorite ghost. Well, I always like the taxi driver in Ghostbusters. Great ghost because it's genuinely scary.
Uh-huh.
I liked Casper's horse, which I believe is named Nightmare. Is that right?
I don't know.
That would make sense.
That'd be a good
that would
pun
make sense. Yeah,
it would be
perfect. Yeah.
But I remember growing up as a very small child, we would go and visit my maternal grandmother and grandfather's house, and they had absolutely nothing for kids in it. They were very strict Methodists, but there was one dog-eared Casper comic that I would stare at for hours because I was trying to suck all the childhood joy from it to entertain myself. So that's my memory of Casper.
Famous. I don't know if this necessarily counts, but I think in that one Marvel comic where Adam Warlock comes back as a ghost made out of flame and turns Thanos into a statue, or maybe he's made out of glass or something.
Wow,
when Thanos tries to steal
a
cosmic cube. What? Thanos.
Okay.
This Adam Warlock ghost comes back made out of fire and like turns Thanos into stone or glass to stop him at the end of a thing. And Adam Warlock being one of my favorite superheroes, if he's a ghost, he must be one of my favorite ghosts.
Yeah.
Other than that, I guess, you know, me and Slimer, we share a love of hot dogs, so.
That's true. You know, that kind of reminds me of that awesome bit from that Spider-Man comic where Sandman got turned into glass and then Doc Ock shatters him and you're like, oh my God, Sandman just died. No, he just came back as Glass Man and he's going to fuck you up, Doc Ock.
Yeah, he's all made out of shards of glass at the end of that story.
That's a mess. Like, oh no, he's way worse to deal with. Like, I know Anakin Skywalker's like, oh, thank God, I'd rather be glassed to death than sanded to death. But, you know, whatever.
You know who's good is Clyde from Pac-Man, because he's a nonconformist.
Yeah, his name doesn't follow the pattern.
Pinky, Pinky, Blinky.
Stinky.
You got Clyde over here. Pretty cool.
I'm going to mention, Stuart mentioned Devil's Backbone, great ghost movie. I'm also going to put in a plug for The Others with Nicole Kidman,
which
I think is also a great ghost movie.
I feel like that was a movie that was... Like, it was nominated for an Academy Award, right? Like,
it might have been. It's this movie that it's a real sleeper of a movie. When I remember seeing the theaters and being like, that was great. And then it didn't make much of an impression, but its reputation has grown over the years.
Very, like, turn of the screw, yeah?
Yes, very much so, yeah.
Okay, let's do one more to wrap it up. And this is going to be related to the podcast. Over the years, we have invented many characters for the show. The Flophouse House Cat, 7 Pounds, the villain who perpetrates only 7-pound-related crimes.
Seems dumb when we think about it now.
Yeah.
I mean, no dumber than the source material that we were riffing off of.
Which of our Flophouse characters should appear in the Knives Out sequel... directed by Ryan Knives In or Forks or Spoons Out.
Spoons
yeah.
Out. Yeah.
I really think it's got to be Crawdaddy because, like, he's the only character that can go up against Daniel Craig accent for accent in that movie.
I love it.
Oh, and Crawdaddy's got a possible motive because he might have secrets to hide from his years living in the Louisiana bayou now that he's reinvented himself as a Connecticut insurance agent.
I feel like he's pretty free with those secrets, though. He shares that information in story
people know his background, but he's involved in shady doings that I'm sure that those at the local country club wouldn't want to know about, you know, gator smuggling or whatnot.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's I mean, 7 pounds seems a little on the nose, but Crawdaddy, oh, man, that's the good stuff. That's the sweet stuff. And what a meaty role. Like, imagine being able to deliver that script onto the desk of, I don't know, any actor, Robert Pattinson, and be like, you get to play Crawdaddy. And then he jumps up and he clicks his heels and he punches the sky and he's like, I can't wait.
Now, do I get to at least read for the role of Crawdaddy? I know I'm not going to get it. I'm not a big enough name. Can I at least read for the role I originated?
Yeah, of course you get to read for it. I mean, I got to keep you happy.
I appreciate that. I mean, I know between me and Robert Pattinson, you got to go Pattinson. I mean, he's a Batman. He's a vampire from Twilight. You know, he's a Cosmopolis. You got to go with him, but still.
Yeah. Yep,
he's a good time.
He is a good time.
He is a good time. I was also thinking though that Noir Kid could be a Noir Kid could be like a sidekick for the
he'd be perfect.
What's the name of the detective again? I completely
Benoit Blanc.
Yeah, something like that.
Benoit Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh, we
that
did
could
it.
Be a sidekick.
Oh, yeah,
me and Benoit Blanc are going to solve this mystery.
I feel like puts my teeth on edge.
I feel like the majority of our characters would fall within would easily fit within that kind of a locked door mystery? What's that kind of shit called?
Yeah, locked door mystery or, you know, locked floor mystery. Can't open that floor up. It's locked.
I was going to say that Seabiscuit, the world's most popular horse, wouldn't fit in. But you know what? You got things like Silver Blaze, the Sherlock Holmes mystery. Spoiler alert, involves a horse.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, is the horse... I assume the horse would be on the cover of the novella.
Yeah, probably. Smoking in his smoking jacket with a pipe, and he's holding a gun in his hoof. Yeah. I think you could populate all of the Knives Out sequel with our characters. You got 7 pounds. You got Seabiscuit, the world's most famous horse. Uh-huh. You got Crawdaddy, Noir Baby. You got Tom Brokaw Dune. Uh-huh. You got all the we got enough characters for a
Flophouse House Cat, of course.
Yeah, Flophouse House Cat.
Old lady who loves Tintin.
Mm-hmm. Bad boy Werner Herzog. Yeah, sure.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, this was a lovely trip that we just wrapped it up on a bit of nostalgia, you know, trip down memory lane for us. Waste of time for you. I'm sorry, listeners.
That could be the motto of the show. Please do. Please join Max Fun or upgrade. But the motto of the show could be waste of time for you. Sorry, listeners.
Tune in next week for our regularly scheduled programming. In this case, we are watching North, Roger Ebert's favorite movie, I believe.
And so if I could take a moment, I just want to say thank you very much for listening. Thank you to all of our listeners for your support over the years. And this year, we know that last year was a particularly rough one for everybody, and we appreciate everyone who feels like they can support us this year. We are extremely thankful, extremely grateful that anyone listens to us, that anyone likes it enough to support us, and it has been such a help for us this past year and in the current situation to have your support both emotionally, financially, and in many other ways as well. You can still remember join or upgrade or boost your membership. Don't honestly remember the difference between boosting and upgrading. You can also get a gift membership anonymously for someone on the Max Fun waiting list who feels like this year they cannot afford to become a member themselves and unlock all that sweet BOCO. That's bonus content. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like being a good Samaritan, that would be a really wonderful thing to do. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join. There's still a little bit of time to get those rewards that come with it and to be entered into our raffle drawings. Remember, that's 10 random upgrading or joining members will be chosen to receive a signed copy of Maniac of New York, signed by me. 10 will be chosen to get a real original Dan McCoy drawing of your choice. It does not have to be Pregnant Sonic, but I know he just loves to. He just loves the promise of new life. So
suggest that. Yeah, I would make a plea to you. So think to yourself, like, okay, this is a podcast I enjoy. Would I like a nice piece of art from them that I would enjoy because it's a thing that I actually wanted? Or would I want to indulge this bit and then have a picture of Pregnant Sonic in my home?
A beautiful picture of Pregnant Sonic that you can frame and hand down to your next generation in the future,
yeah,
as part of your, or bequeath it to a museum, you know, maybe that museum that Netflix did the show about that lost all those paintings got stolen. Maybe they need an original Dan McCoy Pregnant Sonic to replace the Rembrandt, a Sea of Galilee,
yeah, like,
that they lost.
You could have Dan draw like a lovely caricature of one of your loved ones, maybe somebody who's passed, but no. Instead, you're going to get Azar's big boy with a giant, thrill-like, veiny dong hanging out of his overalls.
If you get chosen, just be sensible about what you actually want Dan to draw. Probably a Sonic with a baby on the way. Another thing I wanted to mention, this is something that was announced a little bit earlier this week, and we may have reached these levels already, but John Hodgman and I, co-hosts of iPodius, a podcast about iClaudius that we made as a reward for reaching a number of upgrading or joining members. We have a new thing that we are announcing for upgrading or joining members. If Max Fun reaches 25,000 new or upgrading or boosting or whatever members during this drive, we will do a podcast that we're currently calling The Taking of Podcast 123.
Where
John showed me iClaudius before. I'm showing him the original Taking of Pelham 123, my favorite movie. I've talked about it many times, and we're going to talk about it. If we reach 25,000 people, we will do a podcast episode about The Taking of Pelham 123. If we reach 28,000 by the end of the drive, 28,000 new and upgrading members, we will do a short miniseries covering the entire Taking of Pelham 123 universe. That is every film of it, which there have been three different iterations, the 1974 remake, the 1974 original, the 2008, I believe, John Travolta, Denzel Washington, and the 1998 yes. TV movie with, I think it's Vincent D'Onofrio and Edward James Olmos, I think, and we'll also be talking about the original novel, which I read for the first time during this quarantine, so it's very fresh in my mind. So that's The Taking of Podcast 123. If we reach, that we do a special episode if we reach 25,000 newer upgrading members, and we'll do a whole little mini series if we do get each 28,000. So
yeah, you got your Edward James Olmos, Vincent D'Onofrio, Donnie Wahlberg, Richard Schiff, and Lorraine Bracco,
and it was shot, I think, in Canada. So it does not look like New York, unlike the other two versions.
Man, I can't wait to see which cast members you're going to get for that one.
Yeah, well, I don't know that we're going to. Well, I don't know. We could try it. Anyway, so there's a lot of good reasons to join. But most of all, we just want to say thank you. Whether you feel like you can join this year or not, we really appreciate it. Thank you to our longtime staying at the same level supporters. Your support is also really appreciated. Really thankful for it and really grateful for it.
You're keeping the lights on.
Yes, very much so. And that's MaximumFun.org/join. Closing out another beautiful Max Fun drive. We'll see you again next year, but also next week with our North episode.
See ya. For the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
I've been Stuart Wellington.
Beep, boop, bop, bop, Elliot Kalin. This is how I do songs now, Elliot Kalin, with beeps. And boops, electronic Kalin.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.